begin to see a deeper glory of God in their lives. A deeper glory. Not what was yesterday's glory, but today's glory. God has things waiting on His people for us to walk into. It won't be yesterday's song, yesterday's message. It's going to be a today's song and a today message. A glory for now. A glory for us. A glory prepared eons of time ago for this generation now. Right here. It was always meant to be. It was always prepared. It's always been in holding. It's always been in waiting unto this moment. A glory that we're going to experience. It's not going to be a religious glory. It's not going to be a traditional doctor glory. It's going to be a personal glory of God. An experience with Him that He's got waiting on us. If we will just open our hearts and say, God, here's what I feel. I feel there are some that are afraid to open up. Afraid of what you're going to experience. Afraid of what you're going to see. Afraid of what God has prepared for you, because it goes against the norm and against what you've always known. But unless we open ourselves up to experience that personal glory for us. You know, if you've been married a long time, I've been married a long time now, I can say that. I've been married almost 21 years. It's a pretty long time. And me and Melanie have traveled through different glories of our marriage. Deeper glories, deeper seasons. We're more, at least I am, more in love now than I ever was the day I got married. Because we've grown together in those glories. I don't want the Melanie of 20 years ago. I want the Melanie of today. God has something waiting on us now. He wants us to experience something now. Something that the world can't give us. And something religion tries to teach against. Because as the Bible says, that there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. If there's no power, there's no change. Church, if there's no power, all things stay the same. Everywhere Jesus went, everywhere the apostles went, everywhere that those that worked for Him went, everything they touched, every word they spoke, things changed. Things were different after they got done than before they started. And people say the glory of God is shut up and the world is awful and all this. But there's a glory God has waiting on us now to walk into. And it'll be a glory that does not have a blueprint of yesterday. It'll be a whole different glory, a whole different move, a whole different experience. It won't be a copycat of something that used to be. It's an original glory for today, right now. This is not my message tonight. This is all just what the Holy Spirit is speaking through me now. It's not the message. I'm going to talk about a prostitute, actually, in a minute. That's my message. I thought we had a little bigger crowd tonight than usual. They wanted to hear about the prostitute. But there's a glory God has waiting. As we learn to let go and allow the Holy Spirit to take us to that place. Oh, to take us to that place and not be afraid. Just to trust God. He's not going to lead us anywhere bad. He wants to lead us into things deeper and greater than we've ever experienced. I don't know about any of you. I am so hungry, church. I am hungry for the things of God. I'm hungry for a touch. I'm hungry for an experience. I'm hungry for some new manna. I'm hungry for something real. I'm hungry for a glory I've not yet seen. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for a door to open up that I'm going to walk through, that when I open my eyes, I'll realize I've not been here yet. Thank you, God. I've not trod this road yet. This is a brand new path, God, that you have made for me right now in this season. I don't want the glory of yesterday. Memories are wonderful. But my Lord, while we're focused on yesterday, we're not making no memories for today and tomorrow that God wants us doing. He's wanting to blaze a brand new path. Our season is not over because we've lost this or lost that. There's a new season God has waiting on us. A brand new season of our lives for us to experience something. And I feel that in my heart for this body and for me and for this church. And some will follow and some won't. That's all right. Like the old song says, I'm going on my Jesus just the same. I'm going on my Jesus just the same. You may false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on my Jesus just the same. If mama don't want to go, I sure will miss her a lot, but I'm going on my Jesus just the same. If dad sleeps in, too tired to come to church, I'm going on my Jesus just the same. If the kids all run away, and say, I don't want your God. I'm going on my Jesus just the same. If Melly says it's me or God, I love you, baby, but hit the road. I'm going on my Jesus just the same. I know it didn't rhyme, but I'm going on with my Jesus no matter what happens. We got to make that determination. No matter who tries to pull us away or pull us down or influence us negatively, we got to make a decision. Jesus, you're mine and I'm yours. You died for me. I'm a follower of you. I'm not going to quit following you now. I've gone too far to turn back now. I know that I know what you've done in my life. I know that I know who you are. I know when you healed me and you can heal me again. I remember when you saved me and that was forevermore. I remember going in the water and coming out a brand new creation, and I'm still that new creation now. My feet used to dance, they'll dance again. My tongue used to talk and they'll talk again. My hands used to lift and they will lift again. You cannot silence the shout, silence the joy, silence the peace, silence the power of a living God inside of us. But there's a new season God has waiting on us, and he wants us to walk into it. A new glory for right now. And I feel this veil sometimes, this heaviness among God's people, that we come in so heavy and so burdened. And all we got to do is release it to God. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I am open. Put me where you want me, Jesus. Take me where you want me to go. Speak mysteries into my mind and my heart. Show me revelations for today. God's got a touch right now. See, some of us have had some tough years. We've lost loved ones. We've lost spouses. We've lost children. You know, we've lost jobs. We've hurt financially, and we've been sick, and we've had challenges, and we've had rebellious children, and different things have happened in the last few years of our lives. But God is still the same. And God still has a glory for you right now. Don't you give up. And don't you think the best days are behind and the best days are over. There's a glory God has waiting right now for you. We don't know how much longer the world's going to go. How much longer before we hear the trumpet. Nobody knows that. No man knows that day. But I know this, that as I journey with God, that I am traveling, as Paul said, from glory to glory. Church, we ought to be, some of us have been saved for so many years, we ought to be so deep in the things of God, and we ought to be so much further down the road than we used to be, and not let little things pull us back, but understand that God's glory is in us to reveal to us what he wants for today, and that we're to share that glory with those around us and not let it destroy us. Life is hard, but God's got a glory waiting on us. And the world's going to see our Messiah. The world's going to see our Jesus. He is going to show up in a different way than ever before. Because we're in a new season. We're in a new day. We just can't eat yesterday's bread and stay strong. We've got to, you may not like today's bread. You may chew on it and it may be hard and chewy. You're like, this ain't what I'm used to. Just keep chewing on it and let God digest it. I don't want to go back to yesterday's bread. It's stale and it's old and it's over. It got us to where we are now. But man, God, what you got for me today? The children of Israel, Jesus taught us this through his word, the children of Israel, when he gave them manna every day. The manna would appear on the ground and they had to gather it before the heat of the day got too hot, because it would rot away and it would be sour and nasty. So they had to get up early in the morning and pick that manna before the sun spoiled it. They couldn't eat yesterday's manna. God provided day by day that manna. And then in his prayer, what did he say? Give us, Lord, our daily bread. We need bread day by day. Yesterday was a great, you know, I was thinking about my old church and all the good services we had and all the good times we had, and what a wonderful, all the experience I had with God and dancing in the Holy Spirit and just all the organ going, the drums beating, and the wonderful service we had, and the hands laid up on my life through the years, feeling God's presence and power, and all that was wonderful, and all that prepared us for today. But you know what? It would never be the same now. That was for then. But God still, church, I'm going to tell you, God still has an organ playing today. And God still has drums beating today. And God still has hands being laid on today. And God still got power today. And God still got the dance today and the shout today and the glory today. It's still here. But we've got to say, God, I receive what you have for me today. Give me new glory. Let me walk through that new door. Open it up, God, and I'll go where you tell me to go. Just trust him that he's got something for you now in this season. God is wanting to do something for his people. Special and different that's not been done before. Just like I said, the trumpet's going to sound for his coming. That'll be a sound that's never been heard on the earth, ever. It'll be a distinct sound that no generation's heard, but some generation is going to hear it. They're going to see the glory of God fully and be transfigured into that next place. And there'll be people that'll be alive when that happens. The Bible's clear on that. There'll be people that will be alive and will cross right in from this realm to the next. Glory to God. Boy, that's where I want to be. I want to be where the light just consumes me and I open my eyes and here we are in the kingdom of God forever without going through the grave. That's coming to a generation. And there's other glories God wants us to experience now. What he's doing in our young people. Now, I know I've gone with the young people a lot. So I don't want you old people to get jealous. There's two reasons I do that. One, they've got to grow up or we won't have no church no more. So they've got to be developed and they've got to grow in God to keep the church going. And number two is they're more excited than some of you older folks, to be honest. They don't mind coming up and being prayed for. They don't mind serving. They don't mind working. They don't mind here I am. And I'm proud of that. Because there's hunger and there's passion in our young people. Passion to serve. And man, I'm excited. The future of Living Word, if all these folks will stay faithful and growing, there's a future coming. You know, David, your sister's really gotten to where she talks a lot up here now. When she sung this morning, she used to never talk. She would just get up and sing. Pray for me. Nervous. And sing. Now she talks. She shares stories sometimes. God's developing that in her. And I see that. And you better catch up with her, brother. That's all I'm saying. Y'all remind me of if you're my age or a little older, you will remember the cartoon Super Friends. The Hall of Justice. All superhero was meet the Hall of Justice. And it had those twins, Zane and Zach. Zane. The twins, Wonder Twin Power, activate. They mash their fist. Form of a mud puddle. Form of a mountain. Y'all remember any of that? The purple suits, and they were twins, and they touched each other? Yeah. Probably a boys' cartoon. But I think about you and D with that. Y'all are like the Wonder Twins. Kind of, you know, the Wonder Twins. You're close, you love each other, and you're together, you're a team. And y'all are a team. And David God's going to use you and D in ministry to continue the legacy that your father laid down for you. So you prepare for that because God has got something for you. Spiritually, I mean. He's got something for you. And I'm excited to see that. There's glory that God has waiting if we're ready to receive it. And here's what we got to do. Now, some of us don't like this. So just listen to me with the right heart. We may be going the wrong direction and refuse to change. God can't do anything with that, church, until we decide to listen. You want to keep doing it your way, you won't see God's glory. You want to keep doing it your way, you won't see what God has for you. But when you're willing to say, I've tried it, it ain't worked. I've tried it, nothing's happened. All right, God, your way. May not like it at first. Have to swallow that a little bit. But as you then let go, say, God, your way, your will truly be done in my life. Then the glory will appear. Then the door will open. You ever tried in your life, we all have, you try to push a door and you try to force it open when you know you're not supposed to go through it. But that's the door you want. So no matter what the cost, you try to push it open. Because that's where you want to go. Some of us do that spiritually. And God's saying, the reason you're not seeing my glory, you're pushing on the wrong door. There's another door I got for you to go through. Go go through that door. That's where I want to be. Church, I'm all about change. I am not stuck in my ways. I know there's a lot of preachers, man, they're stuck in their ways. It's just, I'll change with the Holy Spirit as He leads me. I'll change. I'm not stuck on nothing except Jesus. And however He leads me, that's where I want to go. And if He says to change this, we're going to change it. If He shows me new revelation, there's nothing wrong with that. I've heard, you know, there's some preachers that will preach a message for 50 years, and even after God tries to show them truth, they won't let go. That's the way it was. I preached it in 1922, and that's the way I'm going to get. And God does show them a whole new revelation, and they won't preach it. And people are dying. They're starving because they won't allow the Holy Spirit to take them to another glory. I mean, church, aren't you glad for microwaves? Automatic steering, air conditioning, remote control. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No more getting up and having to adjust the rabbit ears on my dad's TV and stand like this to get a clear channel. Thank God for remote control and digital cable. Cell phones, what do we do? Aren't you thankful? I know they're aggravating and we always fuss and don't pick up and I got to pay a high bill. But boy, you sure got them. And when you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they're an awful nice to have as a safety device. None of us will want to go back to before all those things. But spiritually, we want to stay in a place where God's done left that season. And it's like a ghost town. Tumbleweeds and whistles and... Yes, thank you for the sound effects. That's where we're at. And we're standing around, looking around, saying, what happened? I've moved, son. You didn't follow me. You stayed when I was trying to pull you out. What if the children of Israel had stayed at the bank of the Red Sea and not crossed over? I'm staying here. I opened the Red Sea. Staying here. They'd have died by Pharaoh's army. They had to cross over. God is wanting us to cross over into another glory. If we'll allow Him to. If we'll say, God, here I am. And I know we have a great mix of people in this body. I got folks that tell me, Pastor, I'm never going to be loud. It's the way I was raised. I was raised to be quiet in church, and I'm not going to force that. That's fine. But I'm just saying we're shutting God out a lot when we are living our lives based on what we've always been instead of what God wants us to be. I want God's glory for today. I want all that He has for me now. Now. And I'm going to tell you, the glory He has waiting on us is going to be deeper and richer than any glory. Because, see, in days of yesterday, it was more about the shout. Today, it's about the Word. It's the Word that changes us, church. To know that the cross of Jesus has set me free. That when the enemy tries to put condemnation and guilt for who I am, I can remind him exactly who I am. I am the righteous of Christ Jesus. I am the seed of God. Though I fail, put my failures up on a board. Put them on the interstate advertising to all come buyers. This one's a sinner. This one's a sinner. List all my sins. That's fine, Satan, but you're wasting your time. Because on the top of that sin form that you've itemized all of my deeds, at the top is stamped by the blood of Jesus paid in full. Nothing against you. I'm holding nothing against you. That's what breaks us free. And that's why we can shout. See, shouting and having joy in the Lord has to have a meaning behind it. Like the old song. Might be the same one I was just singing. I think it is. One of the verses in that song. Some people may laugh. Some laugh when I shout. Talk about me when I shout. But one thing's for sure, church. I know what I'm shouting about. When old Satan tries to surround me and enemies in my way, I stand up on my feet and lift my hand and say, I'm going on my Jesus anyway. That's not right. But anyway, thank you. I know what I'm shouting about. I'm shouting about this. The devil is defeated forever in my life. He is under my feet forevermore. He'll try to rise his head, but then I remind him, you're under my feet. Satan is under my feet because Jesus has crushed him at Calvary. That's why I know what I'm shouting about. Death will never have me. I'll never taste death because he has overcame death, hell, and the grave. That's what I'm shouting about. When we know what we're shouting about, we can have joy in the Lord to know no matter what tomorrow brings, Jesus is already there. No matter what tomorrow rises, Jesus is in my tomorrow and the day after and the day after. He is my healer and my provider and my protector and my defender. Jesus is my all in all every day. That's why I can shout. And when you start reminding yourself of who you are, glory to God, you know that you know that you know what you're shouting about. It won't just be a feel-good song or an emotional moment. It'll be, man, I can dance all night long because I know who my Savior is. I can dance and shout all night long because I know I've overcome the grave forevermore. Because my name, James Lewis, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day of redemption when my body catches up with my soul. Glory to God. That's why I can shout. That no matter what comes my way, I remind the devil I'm God's child. I'm a king's kid. I'm heir to God and joint heir with Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I am the head and I am not the tail because Jesus is my king. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am a peculiar people in Christ. We've got to know who we are before we can ever have any joy in it. It's not just about, yeah, I'm saved. What does that really mean? Saved don't mean I go through tormenting spirits all day long, but praise Jesus, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'll bear this old burden and get through somehow. Y'all want to have a drink right now? That's what I feel like having. I mean, that's what makes you think of. But man, when you sing that song, glory, hallelujah, I lift your name on high. I'll sing glory, hallelujah. I'm sorry. Anyway, when you know what you're praising God for, we are not meant to be defeated. We're already overcomers, church. Humility has nothing to do with being sad. If that was the case, Eeyore would be the most humble donkey of all time. Does not make Eeyore a Christian because he's long-faced. Humility is not sadness. Humility is surrenderance to God. And every time we walk in defeat, we are allowing the devil to run our lives instead of reminding him who's in our lives. I remember growing up in a very Christian home. My parents prayed every night, devotions every night, pray over their situations, pray for me when I was sick. Always invoke God in all areas of their lives. It wasn't a Sunday morning show. It was an everyday life. It made the difference in my life. Hearing Dad on the way to church sing songs and hum and whistle, and they lived that life. And I saw it firsthand in the home. I don't feel like I'm near as good as they were raising my kids spiritually. Circumstances are different, but I don't think I've done as good as they have. We'll see how it all turns out. But I hope my kids do know how much I love God and how much I've tried to teach them to put Him first in all they do. And with God, all things are possible. All things. They can turn to Him at any crisis they're in, at any moment they're in. Do not allow the devil. For some of you, there is such torment about what you've done and things you've done and where you've been, and there is no, how do you know God's really wiped all that away? How do you know you can move forward? How do you know it's not held against you? And that's nothing but the accuser and lies of the enemy to keep you bound. Church, there is no one perfect ever walked the earth but Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it is very frustrating life to try to live a life when everyone's pointing the finger and reminding you how bad you are. It's time you shut those mouths once and for all and say, don't point a finger at me. I'm forgiven. Jesus forgave me. And I'm not going back and staying in that season no more. I'm coming out. There are some folks that don't understand the true grace message, and they get mad at me, and they talk about me. Some's left the church because of it. And if they want to stay doing it their way, good luck to them. I sure ain't following them. I'm following Jesus. Because there is absolutely no other way into salvation but through Christ. When we begin to add one thing to it, we're taking away the credibility of the cross. And we're putting our own spin on it. Yeah. Jesus died for me, but there ain't no buts to it. If there was anything we could have done, the cross would not have been necessary. There's a glory God has waiting on us for us to enter into. And God is dealing with some of you, and there's some of you that hold back. There's some of you that hold back from walking and entering into that next rim out of fear or out of, I don't know what it is. Timidity, I don't know. But don't be afraid. Walk through that portal. And watch what God's going to do with that. I want an experience with God. I want a real experience. And that's what the church is supposed to be. The church has become so routine in so many ways. Just so routine. Just so methodical. Check, 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 check. We've done everything on our check sheet. Let's go home. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way. That's why I thought Wednesday night was so special. I had a message planned and then it didn't happen because God moved differently. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to move in our lives. How? Because I'm going to tell you, there are people that are hungry for something real, church. I mean real. There are real problems. There are real strongholds. There are real situations. And there are people that you look at all around. You work with them, you don't even know it. I'm telling you. You work with them, they seem fine, but they are battling such ghosts and such demons in their closets, and you never know about it. They hide things out of shame, out of fear, hoping to get deliverance. Open your ears and pray God speaks to you clearly to speak into someone's life. We ought to be praying, God, open my eyes to recognize my brother or sister in need and have the boldness and courage to approach them and speak into their life. They're waiting on that. They're waiting. I think about you, Barbara, in that tea room. You've been there for so many years. Everybody knows you. You go in there kind of working the night hours. You got different ladies there around you in the kitchen. Pray. Say, Lord, open my ears to hear your voice tonight. Maybe Mary, maybe Sue, maybe Jane, whoever. Maybe they're need God, are they needing something I can help give them? And trust that Holy Spirit to go and speak into their lives. Can I see you a minute, Jane? Yeah, come back here a minute. I don't know why, I just want to take your hand and pray for you. And before you know it, the Holy Ghost done took over. And she got what she needed. Deliverance. That's the glory God wants to take us in. To lay our hands and begin to proclaim the Word of God. Just like I spoke into your life Wednesday night about that. Speaking words into people's lives. Being bold. But you got to wait on God. Can't do it on your own, church. That's why God's going to begin to sensitize our ears to hear His voice in a deeper way and to have courage to speak into their lives. That's the glory I want to walk in. You know, after 10 years of ministry now, it's been 10 years of this, we had this ministry, 7 years in this building, 10 years overall, I have gotten to the point that I truly have, I mean this, who comes, comes. But I am tired of just religious people circling through the door trying to find a church that just fits just right. That's good until the scratch hits. Then they can't reach the scratch, so they leave and try to scratch somewhere else. I want the lost. I want the lost. The Charles Loftons that we read this morning. That's who I want. I want the ones that need help from Jesus. Not trying to find a church that just makes them comfortable that already knows Jesus. There are too many lost people out there, church, for me to worry about that. So if I know someone's a good, if I know someone knows Jesus, they're a Christian, they leave, hey, you're a Christian? Great. You'll find something wrong with that church too. Trust me. And we've been here long enough now, and my friend Tony Bunton told me it happened, it has, that we recycled a couple of times. Same people. They leave, come back. We've been here long enough, now they've come back. We go through that. That's fine. But there's a whole world outside these walls that need Jesus. Church, they need Jesus. They are so hurting and they're such in pain and they're so broken. And we're all walking around and not saying a word. Just something simple. You look discouraged today. Are you okay? Boom, that's all you've got to do. I promise you, they'll open up most time. Well, here's what's going on. And then there's your opening. Well, look, I believe in the Lord. You may not. But can I pray with you? There's your opening. There's your opening. I went to see an old friend of mine in Elkin. She's actually a Walmart store manager. Really proud of her. I hired her 10 years ago as an hourly associate in sporting goods. And now she's a store manager. So I wrote up yesterday, kind of wanted to catch up and just see where she was and what her plans were for the future. And kind of special as I hired her, and she's done so well. And don't know much about her. I just know that there's a little Subway there in the front of the store. So I went up there and had a sandwich. And I said, can I bless the food? And I want to bless you as well. And so it gave me a chance. I really don't even know where she's at spiritually. It just gave me a chance to say a prayer and speak words into her life. She texted me later and thanked me how much that meant, and that prayer blessing in her life, how much that meant. All I did was just try to drop a seed. Just plant a seed. And then God takes that seed and can do something with it. Church, we're not meant to go convert. I mean, you know, Bruce can't go to the nursing home, especially nursing homes. They're kind of, you know, fragile. He can't go to the nursing home and, are you saved? Why ain't you fall on the floor? I'm praying the Holy Ghost, fall down! I mean, bless their heart. And sometimes we have that approach with people. We try to force it. Instead of just dropping the seed. Dropping the seed. Don't let them follow you. Let them follow Christ. Point them to Jesus. Not to us. And then we start pointing them that way, we'll see a change, we'll see a difference. This is what happened. Give me just about 10 minutes if you can. Give me 10 minutes. I got time to read it now, but the story of the prostitute, I want to talk about just for a minute. It may not be the prostitute you're thinking about. I know a Christian after lunch said, can we talk about a prostitute? They have prostitutes in the Bible? It's the oldest profession in the world. Prostitution. Here we read in Joshua chapter 2 about Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite woman who was a prostitute. Made her living selling herself. Moses sent 10 spies to spy out Jericho before they went to attack it. Jericho was a fortified city. These two spies went to Rahab's house. Rahab showed favor to these two spies. And she said, and you can read the story in Joshua 2, I think it's like 24 verses. She said, I heard what your God did in the Red Sea. And I heard what your God did in the cities before you got here. And I believe in the God you serve. Here's a prostitute in Canaan that was living her life in complete sin. Then two spies come to her house. And she shows favor to these two spies, these two men of God. You know why? God had chose her. Now it gets better. Hang on, it gets a lot better. God's hand was on this prostitute, Rahab. He chose her. For those of us that want to throw so many stones because people do this and they do that and they do this and they dress this, they said that, they go there, they wear that, they look like that, they whatever, they drive that, whatever. Here's a prostitute woman who lived her life doing that. But she saved these two spies as the king of Jericho heard they were there. He went to her and says, where are they at? And she lied. She says they fled the city. They went and left the gates to track them down. All alone, these two spies were hidden on her roof underneath the thickets and stuff of the roof. She hid them and protected them. And because of this, the spies said, bring all your family here, your mother, your father, your brothers, your cousins, all your family. They'll be saved. I'm going to save them. We're going to save them. these two spies, her house was up on a wall, way up high, up on a wall. And she had to let down a scarlet, the Bible says, I think it's so ironic, scarlet rope to let the spies down to get to escape. And they said, this will be your sign. You know, when everything's clear, drop the rope back out and we'll come get you and rescue you. And they did. They come and rescued Rahab, this prostitute, and her whole family. The rest of Jericho was destroyed except this family. Now here's the good news. Rahab later grew up and became the mother of Boaz. Rahab became in the lineage of David and Jesus. Did you know that? This prostitute ended up being in the line of the coming Messiah. Grace choosing a Canaanite woman out of a life of sin and showing favor upon her. And then she became in the lineage of Jesus, our Messiah. She's the only one of the women besides her is mentioned in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. But she's mentioned in Matthew 5:1. She's mentioned again in James 2. And she's mentioned in Hebrews 11. The New Testament mentions her three different times. A prostitute that found favor because she was chosen. Because the glory of God came her way. You know what I think about? Her heart was prepared for that moment. How was it prepared? God prepared it. Because when they first got there, she said, I believe in your God. And I know what he can do. See, her heart wasn't hardened. It wasn't rebellious. It was submissive. God had prepared that meeting of these two spies. Rahab was no accident. The two spies were not sent to just any random house. There was a divine order in place, church. Divine order. A divine appointment. Think about this. Rahab's turning tricks on Saturday night. And then Sunday, God has two men in her home waiting to take her out of that lifestyle. Waiting to rescue her. Waiting for glory to fill her to become the mother of Boaz, which was the husband of Ruth, which became the lineage of David and Jesus. It was a divine appointment. This is what grace does. It takes the undeserving and shows favor. Can you imagine? The whole city was destroyed but this family. And God chose a harlot. She went from a harlot to a hero because of the hand of God. Think about when she was born the earth. Whenever year that was, she was born. God knew her destiny. God knew what she would be doing. And God knew the end result. You may have started out on the wrong end, but God knows the end result. That's the main thing. You may be in a seed you don't want to be in right now, but God knows the end result. And I'm going to tell you, there's a call of God upon your lives, church, in this body. There's a call of God upon your lives that some of you are trying to run from and resist against and not completely surrender to. But when you do that, you're going to see the portal of heaven open in your life, and you're going to see new blessings and new favor poured upon you as you let go of that and not be afraid no more. I know it's hard to surrender. It's so hard to surrender. Hard to let God have it all. But when we do, then we see the glory that awaits us. Rahab became a hero of the faith because of the hand of God. God took her into a glory she never thought she would see. In the lineage of the coming Messiah. Wow. So when we look at people around us and think, I know them, God ain't, I know them, I know what they've done, I know who they are. God can take a shepherd boy, as the song says, and make him a king. I wouldn't trade nothing for the journey now, as the old song says, church. I wouldn't trade nothing for the journey now. For what God has waiting on us. Paul says it cannot be compared to things in this world, can't compare to what God has waiting on us, the things yet to come. Those folks in that cemetery up there at our church, the ones that, they're not in that ground. My, they never were in that ground, ever. Never were in that casket, never. They were long gone. They were gone. I mean, if you, you know, in that hospital room when Gene passed, he was gone before you even left the room. He was already in his destination. You're there weeping and grieving. He's already there. We're making funeral plans. He's there. The moment his breath ended, he was there. Boom, there in the presence of God. That's what's waiting on us. But until we get there, we can walk in his presence in a deeper way now than we ever walked before. In his presence. Melanie made a point of the day. We were talking and having a discussion, and just to not to go into too much detail, but she's talking about how she said, you know, I really can feel God is always in me. It's like his anointing just is always there, that when I need it, when I call, when I pray, it's there. That's how it's supposed to be for us Christians. We're spirit-filled. It's supposed to be that way. That it's with us. We shouldn't have to drum up some great service or evangelistic revival to get the spark back. We should know that we are a temple of God every day, and that when we walk into work tomorrow, we lay our hands on something and declare the name of Jesus, and he shows up. It's not about working him up. It's about living him out, because he's there. And that's what Melanie was trying to explain, that she just has this peaceful feeling all the time, that she just knows that he's always there. And I love that feeling too. I've been in hospital rooms where I felt that immediately. I'll be with someone and I immediately feel the presence of God. Immediately begin to come, because it's right there. Don't have to drum it up. Don't have to say a big loud chant and prayer. Just lay my hands and begin to let the Holy Spirit pray. And he shows up. Because he's in us. That's the glory I want to walk in. Church, I don't want no shallow glory. I'm ready for a deeper glory. I am ready to, you know, I pray most Sunday mornings when I'm over here, I pray. I don't want to lie to you to say every Sunday, but when I think about it, I pray, Lord, as people walk in this building today, let them feel your presence when they walk in. God, fill this atmosphere with your glory. That when they walk in, they feel something different. That they have an experience with the Holy Spirit. That's the glory I'm ready for. God's got a glory for you if you're willing to walk through the door and willing to say, here I am. So begin to open your hearts and begin to open yourselves and ask for that glory to be revealed in you. And don't be afraid of what's to come. I've learned through the years, especially in ministry, if something ain't working, you get rid of it. Just don't keep on doing it. I mean, there's folks keep on doing it. You know, the old joke I've told you many times about the mama that was in the kitchen. There's three generations there for Thanksgiving dinner. And the mama's, you know, cuts part of the roast off and throws it aside and only cooks, you know, part of it. She goes, why do you do that? Well, my mama always did that way. So go ask grandma why she done it. Grandma, why do you always cut part of the roast off and just throw it aside? Because my mama did it. Go ask, you know, your great-grandma. Great-grandma, why did you and mama and now my mama, why do they cut the part of the roast off and throw it aside? Her response was, because I have a pot big enough. But for two generations, they keep wasting roast. Instead of finding out why am I cutting it? That's why am I raising my hands? Everybody else, like a deer, I'll raise my hands like, yeah, I don't know why I'm raising my hands. I don't know why I'm praying. I don't know why they're dancing. I don't know why they're shouting. I don't know why he's preaching. Why, I want a dignified preacher that's up there behind the pulpit, and he's smart sounding, and, you know, I can bring somebody to church because I'm proud of him, and he stands back there, and I ain't got to worry about him out on a leash somewhere and breaking loose. That's who I am. That's who you got. I'm sorry. Church, I could be as dignified as you want me to be. I could get up there. I could. I have no doctor degree, but I could talk like one if I had to. I get up there and use big words. I could sound just smooth as silk. I could. I could train myself to do that. Huh? Exactly right. So can Satan. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's all void. It means nothing. So, understand why you're shouting. Two generations was throwing away good meat just because they didn't know why they were doing it. So many times we don't know why we're doing it. So I'm one that believes if something ain't working, we change it. Don't keep doing something that don't work. Let's find a way that it works. Same way spiritually. God, you've got manna for me today. I don't understand. I know age is a big thing for some of us. I mean, it's a big thing for me. I understand that. I realized my age went to the last Winter Jam concert, and I enjoyed everybody pretty much till the last group Skillet came up. And I realized my age when Skillet came out. I'm like, man, whew, good gosh, really? Randy Billings went with us. I told you this. He's over there, and he's cheesing, rocking back and forth, looking around. So after it was over, I'm like, man, he's older than me. I said, did you enjoy that? Oh, I had headphones in. He wasn't even listening. I've seen you rocking and cheesing. I'm like, you can't be enjoying that. I mean, I'm very open, and I was trying. I really was. But, you know, when they're rah, spinning around elevators, rah! Okay, God, if you're in this, I just ain't feeling it. I'm really trying. I'm just not feeling it. So, I understand age can be an issue. But I'm going to tell you, if we will allow ourselves to say, God, give me a new experience. God, show me something I've never saw before. Touch me in a way I've never been touched before. He will do it. He will do it. Glory to God. From a harlot to a hero, Rahab was. The same lineage of our Savior. God can touch anybody and change any life. Just allow Him to. Before we close, I want to take prayer requests tonight. I'll be praying for Don. He's going to be traveling to Orlando, this week. He'll be gone all week long. So we want to pray for Don's it's business. Pray for his safe travels, that he has a safe time and a prosperous trip. And keep praying for Barbara. She's still sick. Is that right, Don? And pray for Amy Daniels' little boy, Logan, one of them. I think it's Logan is sick, been thrown up all day. Dylan. It's Dylan. So we want to pray for Dylan. Yes. 105. Okay, let's pray for Elijah, Melanie's little nephew. Any other requests tonight, spoken requests? Connie? All right. Sarah. Yes, Sarah. Yep, little 18-year-old fell off a horse. Yes, Carol? Okay. Remember those needs. Good to have Tony back in the house, isn't it? Y'all see Tony? Isn't it great to have Tony back? He was out a long time sick, and he's back on the saddle, and I'm glad he's here. Really miss Tony. Anyone else with a spoken request tonight? Sam? Who is that? Do I know him? Son? Okay. Okay, Simon. Just remember him. Bruce, good to see you tonight, brother. You and the kids. Was he asleep before I started? Oh, thanks. See, I didn't think of that as he's just so much peace in the room and so much comfort. He can just, I mean, I was hollering and screaming he fell asleep. So, I mean, that's a good sign. Jeremy's dad. All right. Anyone else? Let's stand up together. Let's. God heard the requests and the needs, and so many serious ones, and so much sickness and disease and issues and families. And let's pray together tonight, church, for these needs. Father, you've heard the spoken request. You see every single life that needs a touch from you. For those that are sick, facing surgeries, for those that are battling just for their life to live, Jesus. For those families that have been attacked, and for homes that are trying to be destroyed, for finances that have been attacked, Lord, for minds that have been attacked and hearts that have been hardened, for every issue and every need, God, you are the answer. You alone, Jesus, are the answer. And Lord, I am expecting that new door of glory to open up and for your people to begin to walk through it. It's going to be a door that's not yet appeared and a glory that's not yet been seen. But God, it is going to happen. And you've got people prepared to walk through that next phase and behold what you have waiting on them. And I am so excited for that. God, you're going to touch this body and begin to raise it up and stir up the gifts in this body and begin to raise people up into places they never thought they would be. You go begin, Lord, to fill mouths with words of prophecy and words of life. You go fill hands with your authority and your anointing. You're going to fill feet to go out and march forth and bring your people in. You are going to do a work in this season and in this hour. Your glory is going to be seen and felt in a whole different way. I thank you for that, Lord. For every single need that's been spoken and for those that have not been spoken, you know the hearts, and I pray for deliverance and healing. In the name of Jesus, we give all these requests to you, and we give you praise and thanks. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated for a minute.